Hello, and welcome to Columboys, the podcast all about the buoyant, windward, seaworthy world of Lieutenant Columbo. I'm Mac, and dearly beloved, we have gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric world life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you that there's something else, and that something else is Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Mac.
This week we're taking a look at Season 4, Episode 4, Troubled Waters. In this episode, Columbo must catch a murderous used car dealer while on a cruise ship to Mexico. Appearing as the murderous car dealer is professional Kyle MacLachlan lookalike Robert Vaughn, who played Five in The Magnificent Seven. He also played the titular character in the 1964 prequel to the 2015 remake of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. starring Armie Hammer, who I defy anyone to pick out of a lineup. This episode also features the return of previous guest stars Bernard Fox from Dagger of the Mind, as well as Dean Stockwell from The Most Crucial Game. I think that's it, right?
The most crucial game.
Yep.
Got it in one.
Also appearing is Patrick McNee, who played John Steed in The Avengers, opposite Honor Blackman, who also appeared in Dagger of the Mind. It's all connected, Ben. It's all coming together.
There's a lot of British spies.
Yep.
A lot of British spies.
Well,
on a cruise ship to Mexico.
A couple.
Well, I mean, that's more than usual.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E. wasn't British.
No, I know. I was just thinking about,
Just John Steed.
Yeah.
Just John Steed. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the British episode, right?
Yes.
That's what I was thinking about.
Right. But they weren't on
but
the
they
cruise
weren't.
Ship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
Who knows? What's going on?
Who's on first?
I don't know. This is kind of a sleeper.
This is
probably the sleepiest episode we've had in a little while.
Yeah.
I actually fell asleep
during
this episode.
I think technically it is the sleepiest we've had in a while, because it's the first one you've fallen asleep during in quite some time.
I think even if that hadn't happened, it still would probably be one of the more boring episodes
of the past
couple seasons.
It's a little sluggish. I wouldn't say it's... I don't know. I always hesitate to be like, oh, it's bad. But in fairness, I should clarify that what I like about this episode is that it is actually shot entirely on a dang cruise ship.
Yep. This is the second one in a row that's in a real location.
Yeah, in a real location. And that adds a lot. And there's a lot of that I enjoy in it. You know, that it's like, oh, these are real locations. This is a real ship. This is really cool to watch them actually sort of hash this out and how it would get done on a ship. But also, it's kind of slow.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, kind of the unfortunate thing is that the Columbo is on to the murderer.
Right from the beginning.
Immediately.
Yeah.
In such a way that it's like, it's sort of anticlimactic, because you feel like he's got sort of the decisive evidence from the very beginning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's just trying to, so there was a point, I want to say about maybe 20 minutes in or so, I guess about 20 minutes before you briefly passed out.
briefly question mark? We're not really
no,
sure.
No, I know it was briefly. It was not very long.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make you feel better, man. Early on, there was this point where the captain was like, well, we're at sea. We don't ask. I order.
Right.
And that sort of set a tone. Like, after that, there were a couple more exchanges where it was very clear Columbo could have been, it was positioned for him to have to basically fight uphill against the captain just being like, no, this is clearly the way that it went. Stop fucking wasting everyone's time. Mm. Which he does actually kind of say later in the episode, but it's so not a major thrust to the way that the script is written and the way that it is shot, that you lose all of that tension. And so I think that was a really interesting idea that they failed to capitalize on.
Yeah, I think because the very first clue that Columbo finds is this feather.
Right.
And then he goes to the we should kind of set it up.
Yeah,
he finds this feather at the murder scene, and then he finds the feather outside the door of the murderer.
Right, of the infirmary where the murderer is.
Immediately.
Right. That is like the first piece of evidence that he finds.
Yeah.
And so after that, it is just kind of walking back. And there are interesting components, I would say, in that like a lot of the normal evidence is literally thrown overboard, which is, again, an interesting twist. I just... I think this is just a bunch of missed opportunities.
Yeah.
I think if we really look at this episode, that's kind of the problem with it, is it's a lot of really cool ideas that they just failed to execute well on.
Right.
I mean, the basic gist is, so Vaughn plays this, I don't know, hotshot used car salesman that brings a bunch of his, you know, people on this cruise to reward them, you know, sure, something like that. And there is a performer on board who he's had an affair with, who
right.
is blackmailing him and threatening to tell his wife. And so he frames another musician who is interested in this performer, and then he shoots her. That's basically the gist of it. Like
right.
he fakes a heart attack with it wasn't amphetamines, it was
amyl nitrate is what he says. Now here's an interesting note. So amyl nitrite,
mm-hmm.
which is a different thing than amyl nitrate. Amyl nitrite is a vasodilator. It opens up the heart valves and actually would not fake a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
It would essentially make your blood move quicker, and a heart attack is when your veins constrict and the blood flow is prevented. So it would have the opposite effect. Now the doctor does say amyl nitrate, and amyl nitrate is poppers.
Oh. All right.
And you could snort those, and it would have an effect, but that effect would not be similar to a heart attack.
Right. It wouldn't be the fake heart attack.
It would get you high.
Okay.
Which would be a different thing.
Right. Well, I mean, 70s, I guess.
Yeah, who knows?
Somebody didn't do their research on drugs, which is weird because 70s.
Yeah.
Like, you'd think they maybe, yeah.
I had a nurse consult on that one.
Oh, I appreciate that.
It's really funny. Yeah. So, it's a little silly, but yeah. So he fakes this heart attack, gets himself admitted to the infirmary.
Yep.
Infirmary. And then he sneaks out.
There's
30-minute intervals where he's getting his blood pressure
taken. Well, and we should also clarify that, like, the other component to this plan is he's a used car salesman, so they have the
he's got this gun that can make a key.
Yeah, you can punch keys, and he punches out basically a master key.
Right, he's eyeballed a master key.
Yeah,
which it isn't
well,
really.
No, he had a code book.
Oh, did he?
He had a code book for the make of key.
Oh,
and he punched out the master key for that type of lock.
I thought
he threw the code book and the gun overboard.
Must have been like looking at my phone when he was looking at the code book.
I don't blame you.
Because, thought he just eyeballed the master key.
Like looking at the book and punching the gun at the same time.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. But he makes a master key and then uses it to... plant a receipt for the gun in Lloyd, who is the piano player
who's played by Dean
Stockwell from
with his very bushy hair.
Yes, incredibly bushy eyebrows, and which have stayed through the rest of his career. But the hair went.
The hair went away a little bit, but the eyebrows have hung around, and thank God they did. They're good eyebrows.
Yeah, they're good eyebrows. It's very distinctive. But it's funny because at one point Columbo says, "Well, if you saw this guy, you'd know because he looks very distinctive." And it's true because he just has his eyebrows are huge, and also his hair is like just ridiculous.
It's like a
clown wig almost.
Yeah,
in just its sheer volume and expansiveness. It's sort of going everywhere, but in weird pointed angles.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like there's kind of a little bit of a dent in it on one side, and it makes me wonder, did he comb it to do that, or is that the natural shape?
I think it was a little more put together when it was unkempt in the most crucial game.
I
think that they have intentionally made his hair a little wilder in this to make him a little more distinct.
Yeah, I think they have kind of poofed it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So he plants this gun receipt, and
right, because you know when you're planning on murdering someone, as Columbo says, you hold on to the receipt.
You want to hold on to that receipt. It's a British gun that he bought in Las Vegas, supposedly.
Right.
That's I mean, there's a lot of that that would... It seems like that's a lot of paper trail because they would probably go to Vegas or like call and like say, hey, or track this guy's movements, make sure that he was there in Las Vegas.
Well, I mean, at the very least, if it's a receipt from a place, then probably they would have sent, you know, sent someone over with a photo and been like, hey, was this, was is this guy?
I mean, it's not likely that they would. And especially if you consider, you know, buying a, buying a gun. I don't know what gun sellers were like back in the 70s.
I don't know, man.
But they were just there were even fewer laws than there are now.
They were like, are you over 15?
Yes.
Okay, here you go.
Well, that's a fun... Anyway.
Sorry. I took a turn. I didn't mean it to.
Yes, so he places this gun...
Right. So he sets up to frame Lloyd.
Yep. And then he gets himself admitted to the hospital.
Yep. That fake heart attack stuff.
Yep. Sneaks back down in between intervals. Every 30 minutes, he gets a blood pressure check.
And heart rate check.
Yep. Yeah. And then he sneaks down and he shoots her. He dresses as...
Shoots her through a pillow.
Shoots her through a pillow, which completely muffles the sound because that's totally how sound works. And then he sneaks back and sneaks into back into bed before the next check.
Right.
Yeah. Uses the staff corridors, hides the gun in a place where it'll be found.
Yeah.
Something that's kind of weird that I sort of... only realize at the end of the episode is that the feather how did the feather stick to him, like where did it stick to him?
I don't know, because he took those clothes off.
He took those clothes completely off,
and he took the shoes off too.
We know it wasn't stuck to his head.
Nope.
Because we could see his head. So where, at what point did the feather
I guess we know it stuck to his crack.
I guess it went inside his pants somehow or something.
Yeah, I don't know how it.
It's
but sure.
But yeah, it's how Columbo basically gets onto him. I mean, if not, there really is no reason he should suspect this person at all.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
because there's not anything that super. I mean, he.
I will say this.
He certainly would have been on the wide list of suspects of people who are repeat cruisers. Because Columbo gets on to, like, it was set up to look like this, but there's no way that the guy had the time to run down here, costume change, shoot her, and get back.
Yeah. There's a real sort of, like, clockwork quality to this particular murder.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of moving pieces. It's got a million, but I mean, it's got a million things, and it's all to divert blame from him when really there shouldn't be any. Like, there's no reason there should be any blame because there's nothing connecting them beyond their affair, but she's the only one who knows about the affair.
Right. And as far as we know, when they went through her room, there's not like any written proof or evidence.
If there had been, that would have been part of catching him, but it wasn't. There's no, maybe if they went back to her home at some point, they'd find that, but they'd find that anyway. Like, so I don't.
It's like very elaborate.
If he had just gone into her room while they were doing this changeover, shot her, thrown the gun into the thing, and thrown all the evidence overboard, then he probably would have gotten away with it because there's nothing linking him to her at all.
Right, right. Like, everybody would have looked at Lloyd, but Lloyd probably would have passed the smell test for the most part.
But even if he hadn't, even if he hadn't planted the thing or whatever... Like, people would have just assumed it was Lloyd, and then there would have been no evidence to clear or convict him.
Right.
So it would have probably just gone to trial with, like, the circumstantial evidence. But this guy wouldn't have been involved at all. It's all this, like, elaborate sort of stuff that actually gets him in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it eventually does him in, and I suppose that's probably what they thought.
I mean, that's...
As far as the writing goes.
I mean, this is the writing, but I feel like it's a bad kind of mystery writing because it's a mystery backwards. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's writing, you catch someone and then like sort of going backwards through how.
And the catch. God,
it's way too,
it's a, It's not a good catch.
No, it's way too clever, I think. Like, as far as the murder is way too clever, but not as, like, a flaw. It's sort of just part of it.
Yeah.
It's just kind of to give Columbo something to do.
Right. Well, I mean, the only thing in that is that loose thing about him not having his golf gloves.
Yeah.
Where he clearly was wanting to...
Where is he going to use his golf gloves to
murder? Right. As murder gloves. And at the end in the catch. Because the catch basically is Columbo tricks him into firing another gun while wearing these surgical gloves.
Right.
And then dusts the inside for prints.
Yeah.
And that's, again, it's just, it's a very unsatisfying
catch. And then he's like, oh, well, I would have.
He was like, now, if they had used leather gloves, we would not be able to do this. There would be no prints. There would be nothing.
Yeah.
But because they're surgical gloves.
But also, it's like, but they're not the actual gloves, because the actual gloves have been thrown overboard. So he's like, oh, well, I purposefully made those and hid them, and they're like, well, why would you do that?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
He just straight fesses up.
And he's like, yeah, all right, you got me. But it's like, that doesn't feel great.
No, like I said, it's a really unsatisfying catch.
Yeah, it is,
and it bums me out. Because it's a gorgeous episode, and
I don't think that it adds as much being on the ship to this episode. I mean, maybe just because this episode is kind of boring and doesn't really make use of the ship.
I think that's your problem, right?
But I think it doesn't make...
In the Citadel, they definitely used the setting to their advantage.
And it looked really nice, and it was very well sort of shot and utilized space. And this is not doing that.
Yeah, I think they were high on that episode when they rolled into this one and thought, well,
maybe
we can just do anything. And then they just didn't execute.
Yeah, possibly.
Which bums me out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different director. This is another Ben Gazzara joint, you know.
Well, I mean, I hope he's got a good one out there.
He did some good ones.
I'm sure that he did.
Previously.
Yeah. I mean, nobody gives a, like, bad performance. It's just...
No, it's all, like, perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's just not particularly exciting or interesting, really.
And it's just kind of, yeah. It's just kind of a slow pacer, and it doesn't have, you know, the sort of tension or anything else. And it also comes on the heels of that last episode with McGoohan. And so it comes on the heels of one where the scenario is very similar as far as Columbo sort of suspecting someone right from the get-go.
Right, and also being out of his element in a foreign place.
Picking at him, you know, but it just doesn't land in the same way. And it's not that he's up against a bad, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, actor, like, because Vaughn's great.
No, Vaughn's good. Yeah,
you know, it's just the whole thing just doesn't mesh as an episode.
No,
I mean, I'm gonna say that a bunch, but I think we really covered that. I find it disappointing, because I think it had a lot of potential, and it feels like they just didn't get there.
Yeah, and I mean, it definitely suffers from being right after. And maybe it's because, you know, they were filming on a ship, and there are scenes in the interior where can tell that they filmed the interior scenes on the ship while the ship was in motion.
Oh, yeah.
Like there are scenes, you know, they'll be just talking in the thing, and Columbo will be kind of like stumbling back and forth because the rocking of the ship.
Right.
And it does add sort of to the place, but I think probably that sort of uneven, like that inability to sort of control the environment probably worked against them in this one, because it probably made it harder to get like good takes out of people. I imagine that seasickness was an actual sort of factor. Trying to you know, wrangle the actors and like have them perform these scenes on a ship that's in motion on a windy deck. Like,
I think it was actually the crew that probably had bigger problems. I mean, the guys having to look through like viewfinders on cameras and stuff.
Sure.
Probably had it a lot worse than them, but it's like, that's all moving parts you have to deal with filming on a cruise environment.
Yeah. And it wasn't, you know, none of it really stands out as terrible, or as like, there aren't any bad performances or like really bad shots, but it's not as visually interesting or really anything. Like, there's some kind of interesting sort of sequences. And
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of leisure wear that is very 70s cruise stuff. I mean, like Vaughn has that black zippered dress shirt.
That thing is insane. I don't know what it is.
It's
like a windbreaker, but it's a dress shirt.
Yeah.
And it's zip up.
I do not get it. It looks great on him, but in fairness, like he's in pretty good shape.
He's a very trim.
Yeah.
He's got that 70s look.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a rather handsome fellow. And,
yeah.
And it just, you know, like it's very snug on him.
Right.
But it works in that scenario. I think the reason those didn't catch on is because if you actually sit in them, which I don't think we ever see him do, that zipper is just going to kind of and make a weird little shape as it puckers out from your body.
You know, he's wearing a series of weird outfits kind of the entire time.
Well, like his first one, like that white suit with the, the red shirt with the, collar popped out. And then got like a brown, like medallion print ascot that doesn't actually fill the empty space. It just sort of sits in this narrow spot.
It's like 90% of the time when you see someone wearing an ascot, it looks like that.
Yeah. Because
they don't take the time to like fluff it out and make it look voluminous.
Yeah.
It just ends up looking like they tied a scarf poorly.
Right. And it's like, well, you could just put a scarf around your neck.
It's like Fred from Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
Just kind of a little like just kind of tied on there.
Yeah.
Some interesting things. Some interesting kind of firsts. I think this is the first casual Columbo we ever see.
Oh yeah.
There's a little bit where he's wearing like a brown print shirt that's not his suit shirt.
Yeah, it's clearly a vacation shirt.
Yep, he's just relaxing wearing this shirt, and that's the first time I think that's happened in the entire series so far.
I think so. Yeah.
This is the first, a character acknowledges the existence of Mrs. Columbo, as in I saw Mrs. Columbo, or I am looking at Mrs. Columbo.
Right. And there she is off camera. You will never see her.
We're not going to see her, but yes, she is over there on that boat.
Yep.
Look, and you can see her.
Yeah.
And so this is where concretely we have to bury the Mrs. Columbo is fictional, because now we have at least two separate characters who acknowledge and know, and Mrs. Columbo is real.
Yes, we have.
I'm afraid that
this is the one where you have to put that to bed.
That particular conspiracy theory must go away. There is a woman on this boat who has identified as Mrs. Columbo.
Yes.
Now, if you want to create a separate theory that he's hired some woman to act as Mrs. Columbo, that is your prerogative to do
I
so.
I guess, but I mean, he says she won like a raffle
she won
or something.
Yeah.
For
There's
the
no
cruise.
Reason that he should be on this cruise because he is very poor.
Yeah.
So
he's very poor, and also he is just such a fish out of water, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yes. He's a fish out of water in water.
Right.
Out of water.
Yeah. Well, and then it's like, even though like the running gag that they try to work with is not that great, because it's like he keeps calling it a boat and they keep correcting him and saying it's a ship.
It's a ship.
And then at the very end, because he's going on like a tender,
police. Yeah, police are there picking up.
Well,
things.
The police are, no, but he's
oh, but
going
this is
on
a
sec- like
they're going to
the
Acapulco
excursion
or whatever.
Yeah, 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 yeah. They're in like Mazatlan, I think.
Okay.
And the guy says, oh, your wife just got,
she's on that skip.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, well, I'll be on that ship. And the guy goes, no, that's a boat.
And Columbo's like, whatever.
And then we freeze frame on that. And it's like, oh, that's really unsatisfying.
There's a lot of weird, this is probably the most blatant throw to commercials. Because like every single one has like, there's a lot of loungy music because the murder victim is the lounge singer, and there's a lot of them hanging out in lounges and having conversations.
Yeah.
And every transition to commercial is like, and then it's like it goes to commercial. It's very weird.
And like, and the music is not really lined up with like the actual moment that is happening either.
There really isn't tone matching, which could be interesting in some cases, but it's not really here.
Well, I mean, that works in, say, like The Prisoner.
Yeah,
you know, like the music is deliberately off tone,
but that's not
color.
That's not what's happening.
No,
here. Yeah, we're treated to what has to be a 15 to 20 minute version of. If you look at the timeline, because she's singing, she starts singing Volare, and the guy gets his blood pressure taken. Then there's about a 10-minute gap, and then he sneaks down all the way down to, like, where she is, and she's still singing Valari, and that's got to be, like, 20 minutes. It's got to be, like, 20 minutes.
It's like
a 20-minute
performance of that song. And it's a lot of, like, forcing the audience to sing along.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're familiar with the lyrics to Valari, but there aren't a lot of them.
No, we hear them a lot.
Three verses of Valari total. It's kind of interesting because that scene actually sort of mirrors a scene in Quantum Leap,
which
I found interesting. So this is from our sister Quantum Leap podcast, which is called Leapin' It, just Leap Stuff. I don't know. A quantum of leaping solace.
You can just edit that in post and add in a good
joke. No, they're all great. They're all wonderful.
They're not.
But there's a scene where Sam jumps into somebody and they're at a wedding, and it's like a godfather-y kind of Italian mobster wedding.
Oh, boy.
And so he has to sing Valari. And then Al, who's Dean Stockwell, who's in this scene, has to, like, say the lyrics to him, and then Sam sings the lyrics out as sort of like a weird karaoke version of it, which is kind of a fun thing, is a throwback for me. I don't know if anyone listening to this will have the same cultural touchstones. I'm hoping somebody out there that's, like, activated something in their brain for funsies.
Probably, but it's not me.
But it's not Ben, which means that this conversation is over. And there are kind of moments that are a little fun. Like, I thought the Valari stuff was okay. That song is not great. Listening to it over and over again was sort of frustrating.
And watching, the character is Rosanna Wells, but I don't remember the actors. Is it?
Okay, there's no easy way to say this.
Pronunciation guide? No, I don't know.
I mean, her name is Poupe.
Okay.
Her name is Poupe. Poupe Bocar.
Okay.
That's her name. It's Poupee Bocar.
You did the best you could. That's fine.
Poupe Bocar.
Yeah.
Which sounds like poop mouth. So she's a very lovely lady. She has a very bad name.
I mean, it's a name. I mean, it's not any worse than mine. Let's be fair. Not my first name, my last name.
No, it's worse. Because your last name isn't poop.
Well, okay.
All right.
I don't have anything to add to that one. I guess
you can't. It's hard to argue with that.
I gotta shout out to Vaughn's outfit right before he takes some poppers and fakes a heart attack.
Sure.
Because he's got this wild striped.
It looks like a Terry romper, but it's actually two separate pieces.
Yeah. He's wearing swim trunks, and then he's got like a shirt, like a beach shirt that is Terry cloth backed
on the inside.
So kind of like Goldfinger had the like gold one.
This is also like he's got the highest shorts world. It looks, and they're white, and it definitely looks like a diaper. It definitely has that look to it.
Yeah, it's
He's got that wild that wide Kylo Ren body.
Yeah, it didn't,
you know, you know what I'm saying.
It didn't quite.
You do
pan
know
out.
What I'm saying.
I do. Unfortunately,
he's thick
with two C's.
Two C's, my friend.
And then I guess I mean really the other thing that I super want to bring up is. Vaughn's character is Hayden Danziger.
Right.
And so Columbo goes to talk to his wife, Mrs. Danziger,
right.
While she is lounging by the pool, basically to sort of ask her about...
Who, by the way, never shows up in the hospital never seems to express any sort of interest in the fact that her husband appears to have just had a heart attack.
Right. Yeah, she just kind of leaves him there.
Yeah.
But so this conversation, you know, Columbo is asking about, you know, traveling to Vegas and very clearly trying to
lead her
suggest that maybe he was having an affair or whatever. And she's just like, yo, dude, I see through you. Listen, I'm an older lady and I'm rich and everybody thinks that he married me for my money. But I married him. Basically, he's my boy toy. And as long as I'm getting satisfied, I'll keep him around. And once he doesn't, I'm ditching him.
Right.
And it is like in obviously 70s like euphemism parlance, and it is so friggin' awkward.
Yeah.
Like it is such an awkward scene, but it is also kind of incredible.
Yeah. It also provides a good, I mean, that's kind of establishing the motive.
Oh, yeah.
You know. That's what that scene is about, to kind of just say like, hey, I'm not going to help you with this, but right. also, yeah, if anything yeah, yeah. happened, I would dump this guy in a second,
right.
which is a good reason for him to kill somebody if he was fucking around on me.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the thing, right? Is she doesn't really suggest like, hey, if he's sleeping around on the side, you know, I'm going to ditch him. It really reads as like, hey, as long as I'm getting mine, I don't care.
Right. I think this might have been one of the parts I slept through.
That's fair, man. But it's just such a, yeah, it's a weird, awkward, uncomfortable scene. And that's why I wanted to draw attention to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just really wanted to poke that.
There's a bunch of weird, I think every scene with Robert Vaughn in it is a little weird. Just because mm-hmm. Robert Vaughn always seems like... like he just looks like he's leering at people.
Yeah.
Even when he's not, when he's sort of meant to be neutral, he sort of right. has this sort of look of like when Columbo's sort of there and talking to him and back and forth, and Columbo's like looking away and you know, he's looking at the back of his head. It looks like he's like planning to like feel Columbo up or something, like
it's that
energy.
Thing where I feel like if Vaughn got to play a character who just got to be imperious,
yeah,
he would be fine.
Right.
But I think he was just struggling with this particular
yeah,
thing as far as like the fact that like, what is he supposed to do in those scenes? You know?
Yeah.
He doesn't have a lot to work with.
He's not very very good at being avuncular, which is sort of what he's supposed to be in this one. So it's kind of a little miscast. I mean, he does a fine job.
He's still fine. It's just, it's one of those things of the only reason you notice is because there are already fractures and holes in the script as it is.
And I think it's probably because of the constraints of shooting it on a ship and the ship that is in motion in a cruise, probably under a limited schedule. I'm guessing they only had a single... You know, for a lot of it, they only had like a single cruise worth of time.
Right.
So doing that under all these things and only having like a couple nights to get it.
Yeah. And if he was even remotely seasick at all, then that could have really impacted someone's performance. Like,
and I think just led to some scenes that there's a lot of like air in scenes, and there's a lot of like sort of quiet moments, but they're loud quiet moments because they're happening in public places.
Right.
But it's just sort of like nothing is really. The characters are interacting in incredibly muted ways, and the interest of the scene is incredibly low, and it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, I don't have anything else to add. I just like, I'm just sort of circling around the like, man, I want it to be good, but it just didn't
quite do it. I mean, you know, hey.
There's good stuff in it.
I don't think it's a complete waste. Yeah. I think you can probably skip it if you were looking to get to the good stuff.
Yeah. Now, I mean, if you want to see some rockin' like 70s outfits, like as far as leisure wear, if you're, you know, going on a cruise and you really need to get your 70s on, because who knows, it's probably back in vogue by the time this hits the streets. Sure. Watch it for that, but don't watch it for the actual Columbo stuff. I mean, except for like his brown like leisure shirt. Yeah. Well, really, it's like a vacation shirt, or you know.
Yeah. Or maybe just go on Google Images.
Yeah, that's probably better. That's actually the much better idea. Yeah. All right.
We
did it.
So just Google this one. Don't watch it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just go rewatch the last one with Patrick McGoohan.
Oh yeah, watch that a couple times. It's real good. You want to see some good use of a location?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah yeah yeah. Well, I guess that'll do it, because I don't really have anything else to say about this.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think that's it. All right. Well, I'm Ben.
I'm Mac.
And hey, just one more thing. Hey Mac.
What?
Hey, I think you fell asleep again.
Oh, it's...
Don't worry about it. You really weren't missing anything.
Okay. I'm just going to lie down here under the table.
I think that's for the best.
All right.
Columboys is hosted by Mac Johnson and Ben Swallow. You can follow them on Twitter at MacJ and at DandyGeek. The Columboys theme is by Seth Boyer. For more information about this and other great Waffle Media projects, you can go to waffle.media. Thanks for listening.
And dearly beloved, we have gathered here today to the hello and welcome to Columbo. I did so well. Hello.